This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to researchers and innovators about how to better feed the world. Welcome to another episode of The Food Fix. I'm with Diego Rose today, a professor of nutrition and food security at Tulane University in New Orleans, and lead author of a study that came out in January in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that found we can have a substantial impact on climate change by doing something as simple as swapping a hamburger for a chicken burger.
Taylor, thanks for having me. That was a great introduction, and I think this topic is really important.
And thank you for being here. Getting into the study, it states about a third of global greenhouse gas emissions come from human food systems, and about 70% of global freshwater withdrawals go to agricultural production. That's a massive environmental impact contributing to climate change. But I know sometimes it can feel like on an individual level, we can't make a difference without making a massive lifestyle change. This study shows that's not always the case. Using data from a survey of what over 16,000 Americans eat in a day, Diego and his team calculated how people can lower their carbon impact by swapping one high-impact food item for a more sustainable option. Let's talk about high-impact foods, because environmental impacts vary widely by type of food. What foods are high-impact and why?
Probably the highest impact foods are animal products, because in addition to all of the emissions that come from animals, you need to grow the food to feed them, and there's emissions associated with that. So there's, in general, animal products have a much higher footprint than plant products.
To get the rest of the vocabulary out of the way, what do you mean by carbon and water scarcity footprints?
Well, a carbon footprint is a measure of all the greenhouse gases that are emitted in putting food on your plate. And that goes everything from the production side to transportation side. Greenhouse gases can be carbon dioxide, they can be methane or nitrous oxide, but taken together, that represents the carbon footprint of your diet. The water scarcity footprint is also how much water is used, but it's a little bit different than a water use footprint. It's water scarcity footprint because it's characterized by where the food is produced. So if the food is produced in a drought-prone area like California, the same amount of water will have a much greater impact because there's not as much water to go around, as it were. So water scarcity footprint is then a sum of all of the water used in the food that you eat, characterized by where it's grown.
And by swapping out those high-impact food items, you don't mean going totally vegan or vegetarian. The whole point seems to be that these swaps can be simple and easy to promote. Why is that simplicity aspect so important?
People like what they eat most of the time. I mean, you know, maybe they feel like they had a bad meal every now and then, but day in and day out, people have a way of eating and they don't like to change it. When we think about trying to convince people, either for nutritional reasons or for environmental reasons, it's kind of a tough sell if you say, well, you got to totally, you know, change your diet to be something completely different. On the other hand, if you just say, well, you know, if you could just eliminate sugar sweetened beverages because it's not good for your body, or if you could just cut back on beef because it's not good for the planet, those simpler things, I think, are easier to achieve. It's easier for people to say, yeah, I can get behind that. It's just one little change.
You found the highest impact foods were all of the beef items, and even substituting them for another meat like poultry or pork significantly decreased the carbon and water scarcity footprint of the individual. But swapping the other foods you picked to study, like grapes, broccoli, white bread, and dairy milk, had less impact. Why does beef have this larger environmental impact?
It turns out that beef has 10 times the impact as chicken does, and maybe 20 times plant proteins. You know, cows are amazing. They are able to basically eat grass and turn it into food for us, right? And the way they're able to do that is they've got several stomachs, and they've got anaerobic digestion, and those bacteria that are chewing up the grasses that they're eating, they're producing gases like methane. That's the biggest thing. When cows burp and fart, they're putting out a lot of methane gas, and that methane gas is 30 times more impactful than carbon dioxide. And so that's why ruminant animals in particular, and beef is the number one in that group of foods that we consume, have such a big impact. I mean, when I say ruminant animals, it's also goat and lamb and sheep and any of the animals that have several stomachs.
Let's still talk about some of the other foods, though. What are some of the other substitutions you found that had the greatest reduction of impact?
In terms of other impacts, we saw that, if you were to substitute soy milk for dairy, that was an impact. One of the bigger impacts is that if you were to substitute a fish for shrimp, shrimp has a higher impact than we would think, mostly because there's a bunch of trawling to pick up the shrimp. And then if we're thinking about like water scarcity footprints, foods like almonds and asparagus this from the nut family and from the vegetable family, both have pretty big impacts. And so if you could substitute, like say peanuts for almonds, that would have a big impact on your water scarcity footprint. Peas for asparagus, another substitution that would have a big impact. With all of these, you have to find a substitution that makes sense for you as a consumer. So like, the reason, in fact, that we chose to go chicken instead of beef, as opposed to saying a lentil casserole instead of beef, is because we figured that people that like to eat flesh food are not going to want to eat a lentil casserole. You could eat a chicken burger instead of a beef burger.
In the 20% of individuals in the study who ate at least a serving of beef in a day, you found substituting it for something else results in a decrease of 48% to their dietary carbon footprint and 30% in their dietary water scarcity footprint. That's a massive decrease on the individual level. But is it enough impact to make large-scale change?
Well, we're at a critical moment in history right now. Climate change is the number one threat that we face. And so we need contributions from all sectors to make a difference. Can that sort of change make a difference alone? No, it cannot. But it's an important part of the mix. Like on the day that you choose chicken instead of beef, it's equivalent of saving, and that's on average, saving about 10 miles in a passenger vehicle, which doesn't sound like a lot. But then if everybody in the country, or the 20% of the 240 million people that adults in the country were to do that on every day, then it starts to add up a lot. And we've seen that if you can change the high end of the dietary carbon footprints in our population to the midpoint, to the median of carbon footprints, that savings from that change is around 5 to 10% of what our a reduction in our or towards our commitment of the original Paris goals. So it's not nothing. It's not going to save the world, but it's an important part of the mix.
For the last question, a question I think might be on a lot of people's minds who are listening, how does making a swap like this, say swapping from beef to chicken, compare to going vegan or vegetarian?
Well, a lot of it will depend on what your starting point is. So if you're like eating beef every day and then you move to eating vegan or eating chicken, vegan will have more of a change than if you were to like eat chicken or pork every day. It's definitely the case that vegan would be a more dramatic switch. And so, I encourage people that want to be vegetarian or vegan to do that. I think it's good for your health. It's good for the planet. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, it's not necessary for all of us. There's so much beef consumed. We're like the number one beef consumer in the world. I mean, on a per capita basis. And so if we can move some of that down into less impactful meats, that would make a big difference. People eat for lots of different reasons. It's not, people don't just eat for the environment. I mean, they eat because they like to eat and it tastes good. The food choices are based on that. And they're also based on how much it costs and how healthy it's going to make people. And so there's a lot of different reasons why people choose to eat what they eat. And I think I'm aware of that, where we do this research, not because we're trying to proselytize or whatever, but we're trying to provide avenues for people to make decisions that are informed and that can improve both their health and their their environmental impacts.
That wraps up all of the questions I have today. Diego, thank you for being a part of the podcast. And for anyone interested in learning more, this study is linked in the episode description.
Thanks, Taylor. I really enjoyed talking to you.
We've reached the end of this episode of The Food Fix. Thank you so much for tuning in. We release a new episode every Tuesday at 5 a.m. You can join me right back here for the next episode on Tuesday, March 29th, if you're interested in hearing more. Until then, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can follow us and reach out on our Facebook and Twitter at MSU Food Fix. This podcast is brought to you by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism, and I've been your host, Taylor Holterman. You've been listening to The Food Fix.